Chapter 13. Physics and Trauma. Consciousness has insinuated itself into the quantum physics laboratory, and mainstream physics has responded, to quote Penrose, with great reluctance. The physics community has had a most interesting reaction to the advent of the quantum. It has changed definitions, created new forms of logic, introduced superfluous and ad hoc constructs into the theory, and come up with the most ingeniously absurd theories so as to avoid directly dealing with what it has discovered. Banesh Hoffman writes in his book, The Strange Story of the Quantum, "Let us not imagine that scientists accepted these new ideas with cries of joy. They fought them and resisted them as much as they could, inventing all sorts of traps and alternative hypotheses in vain attempts to escape them. In their attempts at preserving a material world, however, physicists have been attempting to preserve an illusion. Seen psychologically, the physics community is in denial about its own unsettling revelations. For example, as I was finishing up this book, I came across a new book by highly esteemed Caltech theoretical physicist Sean Carroll called The Big Picture. I opened up to the chapter on quantum physics, only to find the following words: Almost no modern physicist thinks that consciousness has anything whatsoever to do with quantum mechanics. His words were written with the utmost smug authority, mentioning that the tiny minority who do think that consciousness has anything to do with quantum physics are the iconoclastic few. There are innumerable other examples of supposedly cutting-edge physicists summarily dismissing the role that consciousness plays in physics out of hand. From all indications, the physics community is in a serious state of denial regarding their own discoveries. The standard advice given in quantum physics is not to worry about the meaning of its theory. When asked about the metaphysical and philosophical implications of quantum theory, for example, their avoidance is captured in their well-known reaction, "Shut up and calculate." This shut up and calculate school of thinking is more like a school for the avoidance of critical thinking. To quote Letterman and Hill, "So bizarre are the consequences of quantum physics that perhaps to preserve their sanity, the quantum physicist pioneers were driven to denial that they were actually describing a vast new reality, preferring to objectively insist that they had merely invented a new method for making predictions about the results of possible experiments, and nothing more." As fascinating as its new discoveries are, the physics community's unconscious reactions to its discoveries, what has been called an act of cognitive repression, are at least as interesting, if not more so. As a student of the psyche, I can't help but wonder what is being revealed by their reactions. Coming to terms with the revelations of quantum theory challenges us to our very core. To quote Feynman, "The difficulty really is psychological and exists in the perpetual torment that results in your saying to yourself, 'But how can it be like that?' which is a reflection of uncontrolled but utterly vain desire to see it in terms of something familiar. Do not keep saying to yourself, if you can possibly avoid it, 'But how can it be like that?' because you will get down the drain, into a blind alley from which nobody has yet escaped. Nobody knows how it can be like that." If we persist in demanding to know how the world is, independent of how it appears in experiments, we are goners. In our insistence in this line of questioning, we are running up against our ingrained beliefs in a classical world which still tacitly rules our sense of reality at a subconscious level. The difficulty in understanding quantum physics is psychological, which is to say it touches us within our very psyche. If we try to apprehend the quantum realm with a classical mindset, "How can it be like that?" we will be entering into a psycho-spiritual black hole with no exit, and we will go down the drain. We approach the quantum at our own risk, so we need to make sure that our psyche is sufficiently prepared for the classically destabilizing influence of encountering the topsy-turvy world of the quantum. Niels Bohr famously said, "Anyone who is not shocked by quantum theory has not understood a single word." The worldview emerging from quantum physics has completely and utterly overturned and shattered the old classical mechanistic ideas of how the universe works. From all appearances, it seems as if the psyche of physics as a whole is having a nervous breakdown. The old structures upon which its view of the world has been based are disintegrating and melting down. To quote physicist Daniel Greenberger, Einstein said that if quantum mechanics is right, then the world is crazy. Well, Einstein was right. the world is crazy. When contemplated psychologically, the revelations of quantum physics appear so shocking and discontinuous with the previously embraced classical perspective that they have induced a form of trauma in the entire physics community, what I call quantum physics-induced trauma, or QPIT. The physics community's unconscious reactions to its discoveries have the classic features of a trauma that they are in the process of integrating into their conscious awareness. In an unpublished essay, Pauly writes, "I still recall the tremendous shock dealt to me as a student by this state of affairs and its implications. Most of the physicists of my generation and the previous one reacted in the same way." The pioneers who were exploring the cutting edge of physics were as shocked by what they found inside the atom as the voyagers of the Starship Enterprise from Star Trek would have been encountering a bizarre alien civilization unlike anything they had ever encountered before, somewhere at the outer reaches of the universe. Once the quantum revelation is ingested, there is no going back to the classical world, which is recognized to never have existed in the first place. To quote Ramamurti Shankar, author of Principles of Quantum Mechanics, "Once we have bitten the quantum apple, our loss of innocence is permanent." It should be pointed out that it is not just physicists who are in a state of trauma. Our entire species is suffering from a form of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, resulting from the unsettling uncertainty that is such a part of our modern world. Jung writes, "I believe I am not exaggerating when I say that modern man has suffered an almost fatal shock, psychologically speaking, and as a result has fallen into a profound uncertainty. It is an uncertainty that I imagine Heisenberg and the rest of the founding fathers of quantum physics could relate. It is traumatic to realize that the world that we thought we lived in doesn't exist in the way we thought it did." Abraham Pais, an award-winning physicist who knew Einstein during the last decade of Einstein's life, writes in his biography of the preeminent physicist, "As a personal opinion, it seems to me that making great discoveries can be accompanied by trauma. When we discover something that so completely changes and rocks our world, we can easily find ourselves disoriented, experiencing a shock that needs to be metabolized, digested, and integrated. The physics community's seemingly unconscious and irrational reactions to the appearance of consciousness in its domain are typical responses to an overwhelming and destabilizing trauma that cannot be integrated in the ordinary way. The physics community's trauma is a natural reaction, a sane response to a mind-bending discovery that deconstructs the very foundation of the world they thought they had been inhabiting." Capturing the incomprehensibility of quantum physics, Bohr says, "If you think you understand it, you don't." The discovery of the quantum has been like an electroshock to the brains of physicists. To encounter the quantum is a trauma to the classically conditioned mind. To take its revelations into oneself is to drink the transformational nectar of an initially disorienting, but ultimately radically liberating gnosis. Speaking about how shocking the insights of quantum physics are, Bohr says, "If you think you can talk about quantum theory without feeling dizzy, you haven't understood the first thing about it." And as with any significant trauma, we are asked to assimilate what has been triggered within us. This is a psycho-spiritual task that demands real courage, as it involves facing the darker, fearful, and unconscious aspects of the self. As is often the case in trauma, there emerges an area of experience that is off-limits to talk about. Mention the word consciousness to corporately trained conventional physicists and watch their knee-jerk reaction, as if we have just said a dirty word and broken a taboo. This don't-go-there zone in the mind of physicists has its own physics, in that it is a physics that openly interfaces with and directly reflects and reveals the unconscious psyche. Instead of having a multidisciplinary, holistic vision akin to being modern-day Renaissance people, the typical physicist of today practices what philosopher José Ortega y Gasset refers to as the barbarism of specialization. Oftentimes, a specialist in one field is incompetent at discussing another. Today's specialists know more and more about less and less. Buckminster Fuller referred to this dynamic as becoming specialized to death and felt it was in opposition to life. From this compartmentalized point of view, anyone who tries to synthesize knowledge from different disciplines is denounced as a dilettante and accused of speaking about something they are not qualified or credentialed to discuss. To quote Freeman Dyson, Fortunately for us, Dahl's specialization has never destroyed the poetry of John Wheeler's imagination. Feynman was of the opinion that science is not a specialist business. It is completely universal. This is to say that doing science, which is basically experimenting through our experience to broaden our knowledge of both the world we live in as well as ourselves, is a field that is open to everyone. In contrast to being a specialist, Fuller's idea was that the world needed more people to become comprehensivists, recognizing that all of the seeming fragmented parts of a system, like all of the different systems in the human body, are actually interconnected, interrelated, and inseparable, mutually supportive parts of a greater living whole. Characterizing this all-around comprehensive perspective, when asked during an interview what his specialty was, Wheeler replied, "My specialty is everything." People with a more comprehensive viewpoint, recognizing the interconnectedness of all that exists, see all areas of knowledge as one multidisciplinary whole system in need of integration and unification. Such people are able to dream the world whole again and truly become the living antibodies and antipsychotic agents for our time. In any case, the physics community has certainly struggled with trying to come to terms with its discovery of the quantum. To quote Wheeler, "We've had many a hard knock along the way that's driven this quantum idea into our heads, against the greatest difficulties of us all in understanding it. It is quite conceivable that we shall have to have many additional knocks before we get these new things into our heads, but to me, the opposite is also conceivable." In other words, Wheeler is of the opinion that we don't necessarily have to go through the school of quantum hard knocks. He feels that the quantum is just waiting to be brought forth into full-bodied realization. It's there for the having. In a sense, we already have it. All we have to do is recognize it.